Understand that this was the moon room. So Danny stands up. He's got the Apollo 11 sweater on. He begins walking down the hallway towards room 237, and there's a key in the lock, and on the key is the words room and then the word NO, which is an old acronym for number, so room number 237, except that the only capital letters on the key are ROOM and then the N from the acronym NO. And if there's only two words that you can come up with that have those letters in them, and that's moon and room. And so on the key, the tag, it says moon room. And that is the moon room. This is where everything happens, and none of it's real. And it all has to be lied about. And we can't let anyone know what's really going on in room 237. And there's many, many other deviations from the book to the movie.
It isn't real.
The deviations drove Stephen King out of his mind. He just ranted and ranted for years how much he hated The Shining. And he hated it because he'd given Kubrick all this great source material, and Kubrick threw it out. And the whole idea of this is best exemplified by the scene where Dick Halloran is driving up the highway trying to get to the Overlook during a winter storm, and he passes a wreck. And in the wreck, a semi has crashed and crushed a red Volkswagen. And this is a direct message from Kubrick to King, because in the novel, Jack Torrance's car is a red Volkswagen, but in the movie, it's a yellow Volkswagen. And what Kubrick is saying in that scene is a big F-U to Stephen King. He's saying, this is my vehicle, I have wrecked your vehicle, and everybody in the world can see it. And this drove King crazy, and it should have. But what was really going on, and what is just much more deliciously fascinating about all of this, is that, in fact, Kubrick was faking the making of the Stephen King novel in order to reveal the idea of what he went through to do the Apollo moon footage.
Yeah, you ain't seen my best. Checkmate in a game of chess. Globalists see me as a threat. Free thinking, got a world at my neck. Ha! Huh? Am I paranoid? Picture Malcolm X in a room full of bigs trying not to bust a sweat. Ayy, Neil Tyson need to loosen up his vest. They probably write that man one hell of a check. Ayy, I'm over here on this side of town. Come on over here, try to clown. Ayy, I'd never pipe down. If they weren't coming for me, then they definitely coming for me now. I can't even keep my phone charged up. All the shit I'm talking, I should get my home barred up. Rappers, get off of my dick and get your home bars up. Vladimir and Liz's breath got the clone skirt, cuz. Use your common sense. Why is NASA part Department of Defense? They divided up the seas into 33 degrees. Feeding kids masonry, bro. Be careful what you read. Flatline, flatline. There's no superior bloodline. Flatline, flatline. You got me once, but that died. Ayy, voice, voice. Do I have a voice? Do I give a fuck? Do I have a choice? Joint, joint. I roll up a joint. Keep my shooters in the game like I hate to disappoint. I see only good things on the horizon. That's probably why the horizon is always rising. Indoctrinated in a cult called science, and graduated to a club full of liars. Heliocentrism, you were the sixth victim. Fuck you and your team, you can sit on the bench with them. They nervous, but before you try to curve it, do your research on David Irving. Stalin
was way worse. Okay, well, I guess I shouldn't. I'm sorry for that, first of all, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised that a diss track against an astronomer arguing that the Earth is flat slips so easily into anti-Semitism, because that's where the rest of this track goes. What is up with this? This is a guy named Bob, or B.O.B., I'm not sure which, a rapper from, it was a couple years ago when he got into it. Twitter fight with the astronomer TV host Neil deGrasse Tyson. goes. These two, Bob and Neil deGrasse Tyson, got into a war on Twitter, trying to, with Bob arguing the case for the Earth being flat. You can kind of guess how that went. So the end result is this is a diss track against an astronomer. And I wish I could say it was the world's first diss track against an astronomer, but it's not. What was that? There's some evangelical rock band that made fun of Carl Sagan track. I won't be playing that one. But yeah, so I had to fade this out early because it gets a little, it goes really off the edge. I mean, you're already kind of close to the edge if you're arguing the Earth is flat, but then it goes too far. Let's see. That's it for conspiracy theories. This is a hard thing to cover in an experimental music show. I couldn't find any anti-vax, pro-vax content in the canon of experimental music. Let's move on to genuine conspiracies. Conspiracies are a real thing, right? Not just made-up stuff. And one of the weirder, kind of more interesting experimental music sort of records. There's a kind of corner of experimental music that just does sort of any kind of audio is music, right? Music is just organized sound, right? So you can just take something and present it as something interesting to listen to. So there's a disc from the 90s, I think, called the Conet Project, Recordings of Shortwave Number Stations. And these are, I'm not sure how prevalent these are now that shortwave is kind of out of fashion, but at least at the time, there were lots and lots of stations on shortwave that you could find that were just people reading lists of numbers. And none of these, no one would ever acknowledge the existence of these stations or say that they ran one. So the obvious explanation is that they were used for espionage, for transmitting messages to people in the field. And geez, there are a lot of them. So the Conet Project is it's a 4-CD release of number stations. Some of them are just kind of bleepy Morse codey kind of stuff. And other ones are just people reading numbers. And there's a sort of romantic kind of sound to shortwave radio because there's always just flowing static and noise, and it, and even just as sound, it's often just interesting to listen to. This first came out in 97. It was just a few copies. And then in 2002, a band you may or may not know called Wilco sampled it on a disc. And they foolishly kind of thought that, well, since it was just recorded out of the air, there couldn't be any copyright. And that was the wrong idea, especially since they were on Warner Brothers. So Akin Fernandez, the artist who put this all together, he sued, settled out of court for $30,000 plus fees, plus the royalties he would have gotten. And he put some of that money into pressing more copies. So we'll hear a little bit of this disc of the Conet Project.
0 0 9 6 2 2 5 1 2 1 1 0 8 1 0 5 0 0 9 6 2 2 5 1 0 0 9 6 2 2 5 1 2 1 0 5 0 0 9 6 2 2 5 1 2 8105.
Thank you.
9715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715. 39715.
We've all spent the past few weeks stuck inside, so make sure you don't keep everything inside. It's normal to feel stressed, anxious, or even sad. After all, you don't have to be infected to be affected. For advice, don't hesitate to visit quebec.ca/allez-mieux, because protecting yourself also means protecting your well-being. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
music from British producer Richard H. Kirk. Darkness at Noon is a solo disc, solo live disc from 1999. This is one of the guys from Cabaret Voltaire. And if that name means anything to you, you're probably old like me. But at some point, Richard H. Kirk started to make music that was a little less, well, I don't want to call Cabaret Voltaire pretty and shiny, but a little less poppy anyway. And he was interested in things like surveillance, authority, and war, and that turns up here. And I played specifically this disc because it's one of the nicer discs with an obvious Conet Project sample in it, the woman saying 99757 over and over again. Before that, tracks from the Conet Project recordings of shortwave number stations. And I actually have a CD copy of this around somewhere. It's on the shelf up here ahead of me. But apparently there's a new version, online-only version with a fifth disc of more bleepy noise stations than I have. I will have to check that out at some point. You can get it, I believe, legally for free. I think you can get this whole disc online if this is the sort of weirdo thing that interests you. Here's someone else who's interested in surveillance. This is not so much a conspiracy as it is merely eavesdropping. Scanner is a British artist named Robin Rimbaud, who I don't know if he still calls himself Scanner, and he hasn't done this sort of thing for a long time. But in the 90s, when this sort of thing was easy to do, he would, bought some cell phone scanners and started making techno tracks with them, and had a lot of success with that sort of thing for a long time. He's still around, and he does, I looked him up the other day, and he has a lot of YouTube videos of him messing around with synths, so some of which are fun. Here there's an early Scanner track called Safety.
Don't need to tell me, I know my... actually can't call. First of all, I got Amy alone that the car is going to be outside anyway, so he's just left it here. So, and he's not fucking here, so I'm ringing back. I'm saying, where the fuck's the car? And he's saying, is it Shepherd's Bush? So he's telling me, right, that he drove the car from here to Shepherd's Bush and he didn't notice that the fucking car was running out of petrol. Yeah, it was. He said to me, has it got any petrol? And I said, well, a little bit. I mean, he should have just fucking looked at the gate and gone to the garage. So he's saying now that he fucking dropped off in Shepherd's Bush, right, he's left it there. And he's driving around with fucking Lloyd now. So I just started going fucking crazy, calling him all these names and everything. And then I thought, fuck it, I'll go and get the car anyway. Fuck him, you know? So then I'm ringing up to him, so he won't answer me. And now, when I speak to him now, and he's like, we've like had an argument, but we're talking now. And he's saying, he'll bring the car over it and it'll be outside. And there's no way, if that car has run out of petrol, bucket thing and go and pour it in the car, so he's a lying bastard. And I know. You won't even listen, Kerry, will you? What? Are you having a piss?
See the 19 kilohertz subcarrier on there too, actually. Look at the RF spectrum. You know, some signals, if they're transmitting poorly, they'll radiate so other signals in the band, and you have to watch for that. There's the actual IF of the... This is the 10.7 IF you're looking at here now, of the radio signal. That signal is deviating. I left it on tune, so I'm going to put it... There's that deviation alarm again. See, there's somebody else there. Oh, goddamn thing. You don't absolutely know nothing about electronics, do you? Oh, yeah? Okay. Almost up at satellite here. Or I can go right down too. I don't know what we got down. What we got down here? There's an AM radio station. Oh, doesn't sound very good. I'm on the wrong side of modulation. Makes a little difference. This is what you're seeing here. Is a 90 kilohertz subcarrier on there? No. I'm actually generating a signal. It's not going anywhere. Believe me, it's all in there. There's something there, 120. But that could be an image, though. Can't you see? This could be an image. No, that's definitely a signal, you see? It's not being generated within the machine with that switch. No, that would be... that would be an image. That would be an image frequency. Whoa. Something just flew by there. And it's a definite signal. Yeah, it's probably shortwave radio from God knows where.
A track from Canadian radio artist Dan Lander, a longer piece called Talking to a Loudspeaker. I believe this one's called Talking About Ether. This is just an excerpt. This is all I could find of it, because this is from an old 1995 disc from the Montreal label, put on Digital, but I don't have a copy of that, and no one has uploaded it to YouTube, so this is what I, as much as I could get off their website. And this is kind of from the, there's no real conspiracy here. This is just about eavesdropping and radio transmission and stuff. This is kind of from the golden era of Canadian radio art, when I guess it's sort of the period in between, it was while campus community radio was very, very strong, but before the internet. So if you wanted anything weird, any kind of new fun music or weird music, you had to go to community radio. And here you still are. This is CKT. My name is Gordon. We're talking about conspiracies. And we're really going to go back into the deep end. We kind of got a little lost before in conspiracy theories. Now we're just, it's just, I don't know. We're getting into sort of delusional conspiracy theories. In particular, right now, we're going to talk about EVP, electronic voice phenomena, which is the sort of thing that people don't talk about anymore. It was sort of the same era where people worried about backwards masking in music, that people worried about ghost voices in their tape recordings. So I've got the window open now, so you can hear lots of cars going by. They are not ghosts, but a number of people, including a Latvian guy named Radove and a British guy named Raven Cass, would do some recordings and hear, mostly they'd just hear other radio stations breaking through, but then would weirdly interpret that as ghost voices. It was a sort of sad, clear failure of Occam's razor and some of the reasoning in here, but there's one of the Raven Cass pieces, you can very clearly hear someone saying BBC English by radio. And Raymond Cass's interpretation of this is, oh, they're talking about my wife, Edith. They're saying, we can see Edith by radio. And it just gets stranger and stranger from there. And there's a bunch of these. Radove wrote a whole book called Breakthrough. And the breakthrough is communicating with the dead by radio. And that came with a flexi disc. I don't think we'll have time to hear the flexi disc. Maybe I should do a ghost episode, right? Or a spooky phenomenon episode or something, a Halloween episode. There we go. Here's those little bit of discs from Ash International. This is a label Scanner used to be involved in, from I believe the late 90s, called The Ghost Orchid, an introduction to EVP. And you'll hear a little bit of the voice of Raymond Cass.
Addressing a guttural and rather harsh voice, I asked for their area of origin. The reply came in polyglot, a mixture of languages. Doch, that's German for certainly, or yes. Recording, der Kosmos die Amons. That's recording, the Kosmos die Amons. Yes, you're recording a cosmic race. Note, recording instead of recording, and der Kosmos die Amons, which should be die Kosmos die Amons, plural. So here we have a hint that the voices, mysterious voices, may not be of terrestrial origin. A slightly wacky voice shouts in polyglot, we are Adlers, we are Eagles. Le message, French and English, pass auf, pay attention, das tut the weather, is affected by the weather. That's a potpourri, a polyglot voice, possibly trying to tell us that the transmissions may be affected by the weather, by geophysical conditions, or meteorological conditions. After the passage of a few years, the paranormal voices became more structured and less weird. The voices indicated from the beginning that they had the technological means to monitor us in our daily lives, to listen to our conversations, and even to zero in into our environment and observe us, and even record material from that. Here's a voice which seems to suggest even that. It's superimposed on a public service broadcast, which might, as far as I know, be gas board or water board, and it's a cultured English voice claiming, "We can see Edith by radio." Edith is my wife, who sometimes takes part in the experiments. "We can see Edith by radio." A cultured English voice.
"We can see Edith by radio. We can see Edith by radio.
They're both showing 29 pounds.
We can see Edith by radio.
They're both showing 29 pounds.
We can see Edith by radio.
Probably referring to me, here's a voice saying he'll be ready to be a hero speaker. He'll be ready to be a hero speaker, indicating that I would overcome inhibitions and release some of my voices to a wider public. That last voice apparently says "Hoch Visitor," exalted visitor, maybe from another planet.
Visitor.
Here's rather a vain fellow. He calls himself the Herzog Beerus, the Duke of Beerus, whoever and wherever that may be.
The Herzog Beerus. The Herzog Beerus.
The next voice proved to be prophetic. It came across in 1975, and it was played on tapes in two Japanese universities. It was a clear warning about the misuse of nerve gas. The voice went on to say that there was an evil struggle in the making. At that time, the nuclear threat was uppermost in the minds of politicians and in the minds of the public. But the voice was aware of a more sinister and silent threat, that of nerve gas, or nerve gases and chemical warfare, culminating more recently in the attack on the Japanese subway. Here the same entity claims that he's monopoly ASEAN, a monopoly Asian. This is, of course, a contradiction in terms.
Monopoly ASEAN. Monopoly ASEAN.
Now an intriguing female voice. Here is Astauda. That's a nice New Age name. And a guttural male voice claiming, "We originate on a planet, something something travel." I don't quite get this one. Needs an acute ear.
A few tracks from the Ghost Orchid, the CD from the Ash International label. It does a lot of weird sort of stuff in between, I don't know, surveillance and sound art and electronic music and art. I'm not sure how else to sell this label. And they're still around, although I think they're mostly online only now. And this is an investigation into electronic voice phenomenon, this sort of weirdo paranormal thing, which was around briefly in the 70s. Although, having looked around on this, there's still people buying into this sort of thing, and there's a guy from Gatineau has a guy who works at L'Hôpital de Hull has a webpage online that has some recordings of supposedly, you know, ghost voices and stuff from his workplace. And I didn't want to play them because of one, it seems like it's actually people in the hospital talking about patients. So I'm not really sure I should play that. And also I just have trouble playing the stuff without making fun of it. And I don't want to be too cruel. At any rate, hello, this is If You Got Ears. My name is Gordon. We're talking about conspiracies and I guess the unexplained, something like that. Delusions is where we're headed. And I want to throw in something about cults, not because cults are so interesting to talk about, but just because they have another weird record that sort of gets, you know, you can find it in the experimental music section, but is nothing of the sort. It's a disc called The Sounds of American Doomsday Cults. It's, I think there's like volume 14 or something, but really there's only one of these. This is from a label called, a mystery sort of label. No one knows where this label is based. Somebody just did this and they slapped a label name on it. It's called Faithways International, but it's really the logo is just a ripoff of the Folkways logo. The only other disc from this label is a 7-inch called Sounds of Japanese Doomsday Cults, which is a recording of some of the music by the guy, the leader of Shinrikyo, the Japanese cult that did the sarin attacks in the subway in Tokyo. This one, though, Sounds of American Doomsday Cults, it's a recordings of a, I think, mostly defunct cult in California called Church Universal and Triumphant. And it's one of the cults that they were building fallout shelters and were hoping to survive a nuclear attack and all this sort of thing. One of the unusual things about this group is they really, really had it in for rock music. So there's a track on here. It's not the track I'm playing because I wanted to play a track that's even weirder, but there's a track on here where they call for God to, you know, destroy a long list of rock bands. And there's just a guy reading a list of names of rock acts and getting half of them wrong. And that turns up sampled in all sorts of tracks. I think Negative Land at least did that. So here, though, is an even stranger track from Sounds of the American Doomsday Cults. And the track is called Call for Protection.
What we're going to do is to play this 30-minute segment, and our decree leaders are going to lead the calls to Hercules with their own invocation at the end of it. I am tending fires that must be tended from this altar, and I shall return. I'm going to begin with viewing some of this with you, and I'm going to return to make the very incisive calls that need to be made. But what you need to do is to build a platform to Hercules, having seen what you're going to see. Now that you know the subject of the matter, I'm going to make an additional call for protection at this time. I ask you to close your eyes, to kneel, if you would like to kneel, as we implore God for our protection in this endeavor.
Amen, 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 amen. cosmic Christ to descend into the earth, to bind now the very cause and core of rock music and of death and hell itself. For rock is the rhythm of death and hell, and without that rhythm, that death and hell cease to exist. Bind, therefore, the beasts out of the bottomless pit. Bind the fallen ones. Bind the fallen angels. Let them be bound by the power of the Lord's host in this hour.
This backwards,
right? To get critics, even, you know, or the skeptics, to show them what I'm going to do, I've actually taken the exact piece of tape that you just heard it off of, and I've reverse thread the machine, and I'm going to play that exact piece of tape backwards now.
Okay.
Just
prove
to
that you've not doctored it.
I have not doctored it in any way. All right. Let's go ahead and start.
Something there.
All right, listen for I Live with Satan. Exactly. You might want to turn it up just a little out here on the floor.
Did you hear that?
I Live with Satan. Listen again. Okay.
As I live with Satan.
How many in the audience heard that? All right.
Now let's get that vote on videotape here. How many actually heard that? All right.
Let's go on. All right. Try another piece. This is something I found the other day. See if you hear the Lord turn me off.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Lord. The audience is voting here. They're hearing it.
Let's go on. All right. Try that for you. Slow it down. See if you hear there's no escaping it.
There's no escaping it.
That is actually, and it makes me wonder, when he says, and it makes me wonder, backwards is translated into there's no escaping it. Try it one more time.
Y'all hear that?
All right, we'll go on. You'll hear, here's to my sweet Satan. You'll hear some words, which I could take time to tell you what they are, but I won't. And it, then you'll hear there's power in Satan. And I'll, well, let's just go on.
Here's to my sweet Satan.
Well, that was fun. That's a notorious bit of 80s culture there. Some televangelist, I'm not sure who, finding out that if you play Stairway to Heaven backwards, you hear My Sweet Satan, among other things. And before that, something from the Elizabeth Clare Prophet and the Church Universal and Triumphant from a disc called Sounds of the American Doomsday Cults. And if you want a really fun, if you want to kill a few minutes, you look this up on YouTube and then turn on the automatic closed captioning and you'll get something pretty wild. This is If You Got Ears on CKT. We're talking about conspiracies, conspiracy theories, the unknown, ghosts, you know, that sort of thing. The Earth is flat, apparently. At any rate, I wanted to do something about unexplained sounds. So not just ghosts on your radio, but also things like there's Havana Syndrome, which is the people in embassies in U.S. and Canadian embassies in Cuba hearing mystery sounds, and were those real or not, and were they injured by them or not, and then lots of cities in the U.S. and in Canada and elsewhere have a sound called the hum, just a sort of mystery low vibration that bothers, you know, 2-3% of people, and in some cases, it really appears to be genuine. I think in Windsor, Ontario, they figured out that it's from an island, unfortunately, on the U.S. side of the border, where there's a steel mill, and it makes some horrible, horrible noise that people on the American side can't hear. But in some cases, it turns out to be sort of mass hysteria kind of thing, like in the far north, there was a worry. In Nunavut, there was a worry for a while about something called the ping, which was scaring animals away from their usual habitat. And then after an investigation by the military, it turned out that no one had ever actually heard it. And so it turned out there really wasn't a ping. I don't have a good recording of the hum from any city, but I do have a collection of little short bits from the NOAA, which is the American National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, does a bunch of recordings of the ocean. Partly, I think this actually started as an espionage thing, as many of these things do. There's an array of hydrophones in the Atlantic and elsewhere. And I think the original goal was to just watch out for Soviet submarines. But you can also do basic science with these sorts of things. And if you look on the NOAA website, they have a collection of mysterious sounds. A bunch of these are sped up because the sounds are so low and deep that you can't really hear them unless you speed them up. So most of the things I'm going to play for you are sped up 16 times. We'll start with a track the NOAA calls Upsweep. Okay, that's a sound called upsweep. That's
This is a test of Quebec Alert Ready. There is no danger to your health or safety. If this had been an actual emergency, you would now hear instructions for protecting yourself. For more information about emergency alerts, please visit alert.gov.qc.ca.
Ceci est un test de Québec en alerte. Il n'y a pas de danger pour votre santé ou votre sécurité. S'il s'agissait réellement d'une urgence, Vous recevriez maintenant des instructions pour vous protéger. Pour en savoir plus sur les messages d'alerte, veuillez consulter alerte.gouv.qc.ca.
I like that one. It kind of sounds like something from Alien. That's called Whistle. That's an underwater recording from the NOAA in the U.S. Apparently, they think this one is a volcano, underwater volcano, but they don't have enough data to be sure. And again, that one is sped up again. That's as mysterious as it's going to get for now. I have a bunch more underwater recordings and some space recordings, but they're all explained. And this show is about, well, I guess the unexplained, conspiracies, that sort of thing. And that's about all we have time for. Thank you for listening. I'll be back here again sometime. I think next time we're going to talk about medicine in music. It will only be slightly gory. Goodbye.
Resistance. What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
My name is Neil Morris, aka Dreaming Now. I am a First Nations man from the Yoruba people. And firstly, I want to acknowledge this land that I am on. And I say, Nanga Namulana Yenbana, Yotiotawaka. I pay respect to this land. I pay respect to the spirit.